This is Paulette Demchuk-McClory, a.k.a. Pavlina, inviting you to join me for an hour of great Ukrainian music and more, coming to you from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. A young woman from Winnipeg by the name of Sofia Bielozor opening our program tonight, and that is from her CD Charivni Melodii, which means enchanting melodies. And that number was Sehanochka, which means gypsy girl. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на двомовну радіопередачу «Наш голос» у прекрасній місті Ванкувері. Дякую, що рішили прибути зі мною наступну годину послухати чудову українську музику. Hello there, and welcome to Nosh Holos, broadcasting to you from Vancouver, Canada, for the Happy Station Show on the PCJ Media Network. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, also known as Pavlina, and I'm so delighted to have you with me this next hour. So, vitaю, as we say in Ukrainian, welcome. And I do hope you'll enjoy your time here on Nosh Holos. We have a great program lined up for you. On Ukrainian Food Flair, Judy will share the details and a recipe for a traditional Ukrainian Easter bread. Vasil Pavlovsky's Cultural Capsule profiles the man who is commemorated this month by Ukrainians around the world. And Irina Bell, producer and host of the Ukrainian Hour radio program in Ottawa, will tell you about a Ukrainian-American Paralympic athlete who's in Vancouver right now during the Paralympic Games. As well, an interview with Roman Bertin, the producer and host of Radio Journal in Edmonton. Roman is also the program director at a radio station recently named Canada's Multicultural Radio Station of the Year, the second year in a row. We'll also have a proverb of the week for you, other items of interest, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up now, a group out of Montreal, Quebec, by the name of Privit, which means welcome as well. Just another word for it. And Privit is here now with a song from their second CD called Zaklikanya, which means remember me, and a song called Хочу я троянди, I want a wild rose.
Хочу я троянди, Що цвіте в саду. Скільки я на неї піднесів знайду. Знайду. Хочу я купати і я розкажу, що м'я над цагою цілу ніч хочу.
Ukrainian Directory is a unique and valuable resource guide to Canada's Ukrainian community. Publishing since 2000, it's the only one of its kind in Western Canada. In it, you'll find information about community organizations, schools, artists, dance groups, musicians, choirs, churches, businesses and professionals, government, and more. It's distributed free of charge and also offers free online search and information links. To find out more about the English Ukrainian Directory, visit eudirectory.net.
Diaspora, diáspora. Козацького роду, ми всі ті твої, Україно, всі ті твої, Україно. Діаспора, 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 діаспора.
The Ukrainians from Leeds, England, fraught with the title track of their most recent CD, which is Diaspora. Time now to rattle some pots and pans with Judy. And now, Ukrainian food flair with Judy Finenko of Prairie Cottage Pierogies in Langley. Tips for Ukrainian cooking in today's world. Now, here's Judy.
Vitaimo, and welcome to Ukrainian food flair. Soon, we will be celebrating Easter, and tonight we'll be talking about a ritual food that defines Ukrainian Easter traditions. Ukrainian life is rich in delightful and colorful traditions, and in many, ritual breads are an essential feature. Each of these breads has its own specific name, shape, decorative dough ornaments, and a symbolic meaning. The bride and groom are blessed by the parents with a round braided loaf of bread called kulach or kotovai. When a memorial service is held for a deceased member of the family, kolach is part of the ritual because it symbolizes eternity. The kolach is also featured at the Christmas Eve supper, Sviata Vechera. Three loaves are placed, one on top of the other, on the table with a candle inserted into the top loaf. The Easter festivity has its own distinctive breads. Baba, or babka, is one of the most distinctive of all Ukrainian breads. It is a rich, yeast-raised cake bread traditionally served at Easter. However, no one waits for Easter to enjoy this delicacy, and it is baked at any time of the year that suits one's fancy. The name baba is the common Ukrainian word for woman or grandma, while babka is a diminutive of the same word. The name babka is more commonly used as the modern loaves are smaller and the name sounds daintier. Why this particular cake is called baba or babka is not known. Some think that the shape of the loaf, suggesting a statuesque matron, gave the cake bread its name. This bread is always baked in a tall, cylindrical pan or a fluted tube pan. The latter resembles the skirt of a peasant woman. A successful babka, rich, tender, fine textured, spongy, and very light, is a great triumph of a Ukrainian homemaker. This is my recipe for yeast dough. I have been using this yeast probably 20 years or so, and it's easy to prepare and takes no time. For this recipe, you will need Firmapan yeast. It is a dry yeast and is a product of the United Kingdom. You can purchase it at any supermarket store. 3 cups of warm water, 1 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 2 eggs, 1 cup of oil or melted butter, juice of one orange and the rind, 2 cups of raisins, 2 tablespoons firmapan yeast, 8 cups of flour. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. In a large bowl, add 3 cups of flour, sugar, salt, and yeast. Blend well. In a small bowl, combine eggs and oil or melted butter, juice of the orange and the rind. Add the liquid to the dry ingredients and mix it. It will be spongy. I add the raisins at this time. Gradually add 4 more cups of flour to make a soft dough. As it gets thicker, you will knead the dough and add more flour if needed. Thorough kneading is essential to develop its elasticity. Cover and let rise in a warm place until double in bulk. Punch down, knead a few times. I always omit the second rising. I prefer to have the dough rise in the cans. It cuts back on cooking time. Prepare tall, round, 1 pound coffee cans by greasing them with oil, butter, or lard, then dusting them with fine breadcrumbs or cornmeal. Large coffee cans can also be used. Fill pans to 1/3. Cover and let the dough rise in a warm place until it reaches the brim of the can. Bake in oven until golden brown. To prevent burning or scorching, the tops can be covered with aluminum foil. Let stand in pans for 10 to 15 minutes. Tip each loaf very carefully from the pan onto a cloth-covered pillow. Do not cool the loaves on a hard surface. This is extremely important. Careless handling of the baked babka may cause it to fall or settle. As the loaves are cooling, make sure to change their position very gently a few times to prevent them from settling. Customs in Ukraine is to ice or glaze the loaves and sprinkle with baker's confetti. In our next segment, I will have for you the recipe to decorate your babka. Hope you enjoy this delightful bread. До побачення and смачного!
Thanks, Judy. Join us again next week for another recipe and cooking tip with Judy Finenko on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Radio. Get your Ukrainian Easter breads, Easter eggs, sausage, cabbage rolls, and pierogies at the Easter Bake Sale, Sunday, March 28th at St. Mary's Ukrainian Catholic Center in Vancouver. Doors are open from noon until supplies sell out, which usually happens fast. So don't miss St. Mary's Easter Bake Sale, Sunday, March 28th at St. Mary's Ukrainian Catholic Center, 3150 Ash Street in Vancouver. For more information, call 604-929-2581. You're listening to Nash Holos Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada, on the PCJ Media Network.
And now, did you know? Чи знали ви? Did you know that a star athlete of the U.S. Paralympic team was disabled as a result of the Chernobyl explosion? 22-year-old Alexei was born in Bryansk, Ukraine, not far away from Chernobyl. His legs were deformed due to the devastating reactor meltdown that took place just prior to his birth. Both of his legs were amputated when he was only 4 years old. At the age of 6, he was adopted by the Salamon family and moved to the United States. Alexei got introduced to ice sports by the Skating Association for the Blind and Handicapped and thus discovered ice sledge hockey. He qualified for the junior national team of the United States and later the senior national team. Although he's only 22 years old, Alexei is already an outstanding athlete and one of the key players in the United States national team. At the 2008 IPC Ice Sledge Hockey World Championships, he led his team in scoring with 2 goals and 8 assists. He became one of the few athletes chosen to be on Visa's Team Visa Vancouver. Alexei Salomon and Team US are among the favorites to win the gold medal. So watch for Alexei Salomon.
And many thanks to Irena Bell for sharing Chisnalevia, Did You Know, with us. You can catch Irena's program, The Ukrainian Hour, in Ottawa on Sundays and Tuesdays on Chin Radio Ottawa, if you happen to live in the area. That's 97.9 FM. And if you don't live in Ottawa, it's also streaming on live at chinradioottawa.com. Broadcast times have changed as of this month. They are now 2 p.m. Sundays, Eastern Standard Time, and 12 noon Tuesdays, also Eastern Standard Time. Up next is Ludwig from the United Kingdom, as were the Ukrainians a little while before. And here's a song that he recorded in honor of the Irish side of his family. And since the world is celebrating St. Patrick's Day this week, I thought I'd send this out to our Irish listeners and our other listeners in the United Kingdom, in particular listeners of South Hertz Radio in South Hertfordshire, United Kingdom. Here now is Ludwig with the Fisherman's Hornpipe. From the past comes to us courtesy the Kuban Cossacks from a vinyl recording made back in about 1972, according to the album cover, and it was called the Kuban Cossacks on Your Steps. And this is a group for the benefit of new listeners to our program. The Kuban Cossacks were a nightclub cabaret act that was very popular. They traveled around the world. They did over 1,500 appearances in Las Vegas at the Tropicana, and they performed for the Prince and Princess Rainier and Princess Grace of Monaco, and many other various venues around the world back in the 60s and 70s. And that, again, is the Kuban Cossacks with a song about the exciting life in the Kuban region of Ukraine, Hey Tana Kubani. Up next, we have Vasil Pavlovsky with his cultural capsule feature that he produces for Nash Holis now every week. And Vasil is a former Montrealer who spent many years living in Kyiv shortly after independence. He's back in Montreal now temporarily and has kindly agreed to produce these features for us. Here he is now with a little cultural capsule on the man that we commemorate around the world, Ukrainians anyways do, around the world in the month of March, Taras Shevchenko.
Hello, I am Vasil Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. Oddly enough, this week's persona had his final burial on May 22nd, the same day as Volodymyr Ivasyuk, last week's persona. While he died on March 10th, 1861, and was buried in St. Petersburg, Russia, but his friends lobbied the authorities, but that his wish expressed to be buried in Ukraine from his poem Testament, written during his illness in 1845, be honored. Of his 47 years of life, he spent 24 years of those as a serf, bought out of serfdom by friends in 1838. He spent 10 years in exile, and the remainder of his life, he was under the watchful eyes of the authorities. He spent very little time in the land he loved so dearly. Born on March 9, 1814, Taras Shevchenko lost his parents at a very young age. He studied painting, and at 14, he was made court servant of one P. Engelhardt, with whom he traveled from Ukraine to Vilnius and then on to St. Petersburg as Engelhardt's court painter. His first collection of poetry was published in 1840 under the title Kobzar. Kobzars were minstrels who traveled the countryside singing about the people's history. Over time, Shevchenko himself has taken on the name Kobzar. Thus, when people refer to Ukraine's Kobzar, they are referring to Shevchenko. His work so influenced people that if there were any books in the homes of villagers in Ukraine at the end of the 1800s, they were the Bible and Kobzar. Most of his works were written while incarcerated or exiled and evoked a strong love for Ukraine and a calling for the rising up of the population over its masters. Often drawing on historical persona and events, as well as personal experience and observations of the world, Shevchenko broke new grounds in Ukrainian literature, lifting it to a new level in lyricism and form. He had an unequivocal love for Ukraine in his works and hated all oppressors. Though literature was not his only legacy, he left 835 pieces of still life, as well as engraving. His poetic works are often put to music, both traditionally and in more contemporary variants. He is Ukraine's bard and hero. O bury me, then rise ye up and break your heavy chains, add water with the tyrant's blood, the freedom you have gained. Emancipation of the serfs in the Russian Empire came 7 days after Shevchenko's death. I'm Vasil Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule featured Taras Shevchenko.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 45 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com. You're listening to Nash Holis Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada, on the PCJ Media Network. Thank you. Last week, on Thursday, March 11th to be exact, Edmonton's ethnic radio station 101.7 World FM was awarded the title of Multicultural Radio Station of the Year for the second year in a row. As well, this year the station is celebrating its 30th year of broadcasting to Edmonton's ethnic communities. The station's program director just happens to be one of our own. He's the longtime producer and host of Edmonton's highly popular Ukrainian radio program, Radio Journal. He's Roman Britan. And Roman was on hand to receive the honors in person at the Canadian Music and Broadcast Industry Awards in Toronto. I caught up with him by telephone in Toronto the next day to chat with him about the award and his work.
Thanks so much for joining us, Roman, and congratulations on this back-to-back award.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you very much.
Have your feet hit the ground yet, or are you still floating?
Well, you know, Edmonton's considered a major market in radio, and the funny thing about our radio station is we really kind of see ourselves as a small market station in a lot of ways in a major market. So whenever we get anything, any kind of recognition that's on a more national level, especially in Toronto where there are giants like Chin Radio and Ethnic Broadcasting, that's huge. So having won it last year, you know, we were just awestruck by that, and we rode that wave the entire year. But I honestly, you know, was telling everybody there was no way in the world that I thought that we could possibly repeat. But here we are.
Well, it's a very well-deserved award, and you're certainly instrumental in the process. Now, when were you appointed as program director?
I've been program director now for 3 years, 3.5 years.
Okay, so that's kind of coincidental there, I'd say.
Coincidental, you say?
Well, yeah. You've been director for 3 years, and the last 2 years you won the award.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, actually, it's coincidental with the fact that 3 years ago is when Rogers Radio bought us out, so we became, you know, a part of a bigger company. Prior to that, we didn't have a program director. Basically, our GM acted as everything because it was a small, locally owned station.
Okay. So then, did your experience with Radio Journal influence the direction you took as program director?
I would say to a certain extent, yes. The direction that I always tried to take with Radio Journal has been, I guess, a bit of a trailblazing one. Sorry to use that word in a sense. It's kind of odd to use it on yourself. But what I mean by that is I've always tried to break that program out of the traditional sort of, you know, campus radio or church basement mode of ethnic programming.
Right.
Trying to adapt some as many, you know, mainstream standards, if you will, to the show as possible, you know, while still covering the community. And so that influenced a lot of features and things that we were always trying out on the show. So in a way, my program was always the one that the other programs tended to follow as we moved in new directions with it. So a lot of those things, I think, kind of painted my vision of what a multicultural station could sound like if we tried to move it up to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, you've been a mentor to me in that way. You've been doing this for a long, long time. You celebrated your 25th anniversary as producer and host of Radio Journal. What, 25th? How many years ago was that you celebrated?
Well, actually three, because this is March, so this month is 28 years that I've been doing the show.
Wow, amazing. So it certainly has spilled over, and you've done a wonderful show. It's certainly very, you know, professional and just all-encompassing, and really a great template for me to follow, and I'm sure for many other broadcasters in the country to follow as well.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, did you make any major changes that you can, you know, specifically pinpoint when you became program director to the way things were doing, you know, were done before? As you said, there was no program director, so yeah, definitely you're a trailblazer.
I think the most important thing was really the acceptable standards, you know, of the sound, the overall sound of the station, especially starting with the. With the daily programs, because in essence those people are, you know, they're paid because they're doing shows 5 days a week, in some cases 6 days a week. So it was easy to start there because, I mean, we can expect certain things of people that we're paying. It's always an odd sort of mix of volunteers and professionals that we have at stations such as ours, because we have a lot of people on the weekends that just do, you know, once a week programs.
Right.
But that said, we're certainly also demanding more of them, and a lot of it has to do with the uniformity of presentation. You know, the way, just the way that the content of a show is built. A lot of people haven't ever been challenged to sit down and actually put together a program design. You know, it's always been kind of, well, bring in some records and, you know, we'll make some community announcements and occasionally have a guest and just fill up the hour. But there are certain principles that apply. Some things might not apply for mainstream radio, but certain standards of what we're used to hearing when we turn on any radio station in this country, they certainly should apply, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. So that's been something that I've been focusing on a lot.
So, for example?
Like I said, with program design, it means sitting down. It means taking a look at that hour or 2 hours or 3 hours that you have, deciding how the various segments are going to flow, not just haphazardly putting them together as you go, you know, looking at how you might work with your music library, how certain styles and, you know, how you might break down in terms of how much traditional, how much new releases you may want to present, when you do them, how you do them, you know, familiarity of songs versus bringing in some new things, just these basic kinds of questions. That there's a science to a lot of that.
So sure.
And, you know, one of the things that I could probably say, I have a lot of things to say on both sides of the coin about being a part of a larger corporation such as Rogers, but on the positive side for sure is the fact that we work in the same building with an extremely popular and also in its own right trailblazing modern rock station called Sonic 102.9.
Right.
For myself personally, just being able to work with a station like that and watching what they do to deliver, you know, a slick product, and just taking like the best elements of that and then working with my own people on an ongoing basis, it's about paying attention to what they're doing. It's about responding to what they're doing. It's about making them know that you're actually listening to them, sitting down and doing air checks. For 28 years I've been doing my show, but you know, before the last couple of years, nobody ever sat down with me on a regular basis to just listen to bits of my show and say, okay, why are you doing that? Have you tried this? Have you thought of this? I suppose a standard principle in working with employees anywhere, and that's to give feedback. But in radio, sometimes, especially in ethnic radio, sometimes we feel, you know, these people are giving a lot of themselves already, and we don't want to step on their toes, and they know their communities, so who are we to tell them what to say and how to say it? Well, I don't speak, you know, 20-plus languages, even though I'm program director at a station that does, so I, of course, put a lot of faith and trust in my people. But ultimately, we all have ears. We all have ears that are trained to a certain level of professionalism every time we turn on the radios from when we were small children, so we know what sounds like a program that knows what it's doing and knows what it wants to accomplish. So at that point, then, it becomes a universal. I don't need to speak Mandarin to sit down with the Mandarin people and say, okay, let's listen to a bit of your show. Let's listen to, why are you speaking for 2.5 minutes here? Is there 2.5 minutes worth of content there? Or, you know, should you be like speaking 30 seconds and getting on with the music? Let's tell me what's in here. Let's talk about it and see whether we can tighten it up or whether we need to, you know, change the whole program around. So air checks with people are vital. And the other thing that they accomplish is it's then in the back of your mind constantly that somebody is listening to you, you know, beyond just the choir, and that somebody does care about what you're doing. So that kind of positive feedback also, as in, hey, I listened to your show yesterday, it sounded fantastic, that sort of thing goes miles and miles towards building confidence in a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just gives you a better overall sound.
Right, right. So, what were the specific criteria then that merited the station this award?
Well, the you know, it's a little bit vague. The way that the award system works with the Canadian Music Week is the industry is invited to submit applications for nominations. When that's done, there's a board that looks at the nomination forms, and in particular, you're allowed to basically describe the types of things that you're doing. In my case, I didn't nominate us. It was nominated by the company we were, but they asked me to submit a write-up of the kinds of things that we're doing in our programming, how we're reaching the community, the types of things that we're doing outside of our programming itself. So they look at a well-rounded radio station that's involved and you know, well-integrated into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular in things like, again, ethnic radio, they want to see some innovation. So hopefully there are some steps forward that we've been able to point out that will draw the attention of the nominations committee. Once that happens, they release the list of nominees, and then the entire industry can go in and vote online, and then a station is chosen.
Wow.
You know, in the case of ethnic multicultural, it's one of those you know, it's like those secondary academy awards, the technical academy awards, right? You figure that most of the people voting probably don't know too much about what's really going on at your station. But then I think it's things like website and just pretty much any kind of material you can supply them makes the difference when they go through it.
Right.
So, you know, it probably doesn't hurt that we're the only multicultural station in the Rogers family, so we kind of got that support behind us and everybody's voting for us. But that said, I mean, it was a total surprise, that's for sure.
Oh, well, was there any cash involved, or is it just glory?
No, it's just bragging rights, really. But, I mean, believe me, you know, I mean, in such a competitive market, I mean, to be able to say that, especially in a city like Edmonton, that, you know, we've been recognized nationally, and now to say it that it's 2 years in a row, I mean, that's really worth its weight in gold to us.
Absolutely. Now, this is a great way to kick off a milestone anniversary. So any plans in store to celebrate the 30th anniversary?
We've had just a major, you know, I think if this is any indication, it's going to be a heck of a year because we started off by, again, because of our association with Rogers, to have been able to be the carrier of all the live hockey broadcasts and the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympics. So that was a huge feather in the cap for us. And made for a really challenging February because it was a lot of preemptions and moving the schedule around to accommodate those things. But there's a game that you have to play, unfortunately, with if you're a commercial ethnic station, and that's the constant sort of foot in the door game. You know, as in world who. So the more things that we can arm our sales staff with, as in, well, for instance, we're the guys that carried the hockey games from the Olympics. Anything
right.
that opens the door so that a potential advertiser will listen to you and prick up his ears a little bit.
Right.
So those things are huge. So that happened in February. Now this is huge for us. And now we're just putting together our plans for the rest of the year. Our major event always is the Heritage Festival in Edmonton, which sees about 500,000 people go through the gates there. And we're the major sponsor always, so we're going to have a big amphitheater outdoor show. We have something called a World Wonder Contest, which is sort of our ethnic version of Canadian Idol.
Oh.
We launched it last year, and it was very successful, so we're looking forward to expanding that a bit this year. November 1st is actually the date of the incorporation of when we first went on air. So towards November sometime, we'll be looking at some sort of major banquet event or something. But all year, we're looking forward to having various ways of celebrating.
Well, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on receiving this award, 2 years running, no less. I'm sure I can speak on behalf of my listeners, fellow broadcasters, and indeed the entire Ukrainian community in saying that we're all really very proud of you.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, it's so well-deserved. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
And I was speaking with Roman Bertin, Program Director at 101.7 World FM in Edmonton, this year's and last year's Canadian Multicultural Radio Station of the Year.
Не сама, калинула мала, лама милий, мій милий, ружа біла лелія, а я нагинала, лама милий, мій милий, ружа біла лелія, а я нагинала, над водою два прутики гнуться, над водою два прутики гнуться, а за мною молодою ружа біла лелія, всі легіні б'ються, а за мною молодою ружа біла лелія, всі легіні б'ються. Не бійтесь, я ваша не буду. Кому мручку дала ружа біла лелія, за того я піду. Кому мручку дала ружа біла лелія, за того я піду.
забила лалія, за того я піду, кому мручку дала. Ружа біла лалія, за того я піду, кому мручку дала.
Anatoly Rudenko and the folklore band Kyiv, which means, of course, that's the name of the capital city of Ukraine, Kyiv, not Kiev, but Kyiv. And that song was Oikum Dokume Zaletsyovsya. And before them, you heard Anichka from her CD, Pohovorit Zimnoi Pukrinske, and that means speak to me in Ukrainian. And that song was Nisama Kalenu Lamala, I did not break the branches of the guelder rose alone. And I'm not even going to translate the song that you just heard by the folklore band Kyiv, because both of those songs have very erotic undertones, and this is a family show. So I'm just going to leave it to your imagination, but this and many other songs like that are out there in the Ukrainian musical lexicon. For the very best in Ukrainian music from all corners of the globe, tune in to Nash Holos, coming to you courtesy Keith Perron and PCJ Media. This broadcast will be archived at the PCJ Media website, which is pcjmedia.com. You can find out more about Nash Holos and catch the local Vancouver broadcast at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com, and that's NASHHOLOS, or just Google Ukrainian Radio Vancouver. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. So some words of wisdom to leave you with this evening. Перше, треба людину добре пізнати, а відтак можна їй щось позичати. And our Ukrainian proverb of the week translates as, get to know a person before you lend. Well, our time is about up, and so wrapping things up, we'll have a group from Winnipeg by the name of High Profile, and they'll be taking us home with a kalameika, but it's a very multicultural approach to it. It's done in a very South American kind of salsa style. The song is a kalameika, which is a very happy dance, and that's reflected in the name, which is Oitaduna, which means absolutely nothing, just nonsense words underscoring the happy tone of this tune. So here is High Profile with Oitaduna. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Media. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, dopa bachinya.